I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega. When the pandemic hit last year and forced millions of Americans to socially distance themselves at home to curb the spread of the virus, it also meant that millions of people lost their jobs. The stock market plunged amidst the uncertainty, and restaurants, retailers, airliners, and hotels saw their foot traffic decline significantly. But something that many of us didn't expect was that the pandemic and all of the extra time we spent at home would translate into a housing boom. Individuals and households with means jumped at the opportunity to get into the market, with interest rates at historic lows and new flexible work-from-home schedules. Some participated in bidding wars and made offers on homes sight unseen. Here's what you told us.
Hi, this is Yvette calling from Temecula, California. We sold our house super fast. For way more than the asking price. It was a head-spinning experience, and we felt super, super lucky.
I purchased a home in Salt Lake City, Utah in February of 2020, and then the pandemic hit, and I assumed that I had purchased at the top of the housing market, and I could not have been more wrong. I ended up selling my home just 10 months later for $60,000 more than I had purchased it. In fact, I received a cash offer for $10,000 over asking price within 4 hours of it being listed. And I was thrilled until I started looking to buy another home. It took me 2.5 months, 17 offers, all over asking price, before I finally was able to win a bid and purchase a different new home for more than I had actually sold my first home. That is the housing market in Salt Lake City, Utah. And this is Heather.
But climbing prices and a limited supply of homes for sale have also highlighted inequalities in the housing market. Joining me now to discuss her reporting on the U.S. housing market and who stands to benefit from the boom is Rani Mola, senior data reporter at Vox's Recode. Rani, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So, Rani, I'd like you to react with what we just heard from listeners. Do those stories, those anecdotes, track with what you found in your reporting?
Oh, absolutely. I heard a lot of similar anecdotes when I was reporting, you know, just people getting these crazy number of offers on their homes if they're selling it, and then people trying to buy homes just really being out of luck, you know, having to make these offers so much higher than they expected, competing with tons of other people, and people offering just, you know, cash, which is, you know, sort of unheard of.
What happened? Why is this happening? And what does it have to do with the pandemic?
So there's like there's a confluence of reasons having to do with both supply and demand. On the demand side, first of all, as you said, the pandemic, a lot of people have been stuck at home. They've been teaching their kids at home. They've been in their home, you know, 24 hours a day. So it's made it a lot more important to have a bigger house, to have a nice space, to have outdoor space. So that was one impetus for people to be like, okay, you know, maybe I'm going to get out of my apartment and I'm going to buy a house. You also have millennials aging into the time when they're going to buy their first or maybe second homes. There's also really low mortgage rates. And then on the supply side, you have just limited numbers of houses being built since the last housing bubble, which sort of decimated the construction industry. You also have high lumber prices. You have a lot of people who are unwilling to put their homes on the market during the pandemic or holding onto their homes longer. Finally, you also have investors who are buying up existing and new homes to make them into rental properties. So that's taking a lot of them off of the market. So you have all of these reasons that are making the housing market just so hot and expensive.
Interesting. And on the last point, the investors are buying these homes and then renting them? Is that how they're handling their investments?
Yeah, I mean, a good portion of them are. There's one estimate from John Burns Real Estate that says something like 20% of all home buying activity is for investment properties. And that could be any number of things, you know, just holding on to it, having the price go up. But a lot of that is for rentals. And that's a trend that started after the last housing boom when all of these foreclosed houses were in the market. Investors came in there and they bought houses on the cheap and flipped them in order to rent them out to people.
Rani, how does the volume of homes compare to the demand from buyers? Do you have any numbers, approximations on that?
I know that the demand is far outstripping the supply. The last time people were buying this number of houses was, you know, 2006, right at the height of the housing bubble, you know, the run up to the housing bubble. So we have tons of people buying houses and there's just not enough homes to meet their demand.
You wrote in one of your recent stories that the rise of single family rentals is one of the many trends portending the erosion of personal ownership. And this is not just personal ownership of homes, right? Can you expand on that for us?
Right. There's all sorts of stuff that people no longer own. We used to buy CDs and now we spend $10 a month on Spotify. If you want, you could have a subscription for, your toothbrush, but there's other things like farm equipment that, you would think that you could buy outright, but the companies that make this farm equipment own the software. And, it's this larger trend where people own fewer and fewer things. And we're basically renting or leasing out stuff that we formerly owned. And that has a lot of repercussions for the amount of control we have over the things that we think we own.
And then repercussions for accumulating wealth and passing down generational wealth too. Right?
Absolutely. That's especially the case with homes. They're worth hundreds of thousands of, if not more, dollars. And if you're constantly paying rent, you, at the end of the day, don't have anything to sell. And at the end of your life, don't have anything to pass down to your children. So this has a lot of potential repercussions for how people establish wealth. If you're able to buy a home, that's pretty meaningful. As far as extending that wealth.
Sure. Yeah. How do home ownership rates right now compare across races?
So overall, home ownership rates are pretty high. They're around 65%, but it's much higher for white people than it is for Black people. And that's historically been the case. The home ownership rates are always higher for whites. The fear is that with these prices just skyrocketing, that's going to further make it less likely for Blacks to be able to afford homes. Part of the reasons for the lower home ownership rates were lower incomes to begin with, also redlining, not offering them the mortgages that they might offer white people. So this is just going to push it further out of reach for Americans making less money.
Sure. Who else has been boxed out of this opportunity to home buy in this red hot market? Does it mean that, the rising home prices and the reduced supply mean that certain demographics just are not able to get involved in this market to buy homes?
It's boxed out just a lot of people who might have pretty good jobs, might have a good amount of money saved up, but it's just not enough money anymore. So these are people who you'd in years past would obviously be ready to buy a home. And now with home prices the way they are, they just simply can't afford it. So they end up in a lot of cases trying to get the same things that you would get in a home, but having to do so by renting.
Yeah. So where does this go? What's going to happen? I mean, is this a real estate bubble that will eventually pop?
Well, the thing is housing prices tend to go up even, remember, while all this was happening, we were in the middle of a recession and the pandemic was happening and the housing prices were still going up. Obviously, the last recession was a different story that was predicated on bad loans to too many houses. But this doesn't seem to be the case in this one. People are putting a lot more money down. They have better credit. So I guess what could happen is eventually so many people will be priced out that mm-hmm. the prices will have to slow down. That'll eventually happen. It's just once that happens, the prices have already gone up so much that it's made it out of reach for so many people. I believe in the last year, home prices went up about 10%, and typically they go up 3%, maybe 5%. So that's just completely out of lockstep with how fast people's incomes are rising.
Yeah, the market is nuts. And what about the renter's market? Is that going up kind of at the same rate?
It's not going up at the same rate. So rents are certainly going up, but just nowhere near as fast as, and these are home rent for renting a home. They're going up and nowhere near as fast as the price of homes. So more and more renting a home is becoming the more affordable option, but that's still getting more expensive as well.
So who is affording these houses at increasingly astronomical prices? Is there a particular demographic that is grabbing these places before other people?
I mean, the simple answer is people with a lot of money. I mean,
rich
people. This is another example of people, the divide in America of wealthier people getting wealthier and poorer people getting poorer. You have a lot of people who, I believe there was someone on the call who was saying, you know, I sold my house and I sold it for way more than I expected to, and it sold it really fast. And I talked to some people like that as well. So these are people who already had a home, you know, already are in an upper income bracket because they were able to purchase a home previously. And now they just got even more money for their home. The problem is, you know, they might not be able to afford another home. Sure. So, I think wealthier people will be able to get wealthier because of this.
And before I let you go, I'm curious if people who are buying homes or looking for certain amenities, maybe related to the pandemic that we're all still living through. Are there certain things that home buyers want in their homes now that maybe they didn't want before?
I think again, you just hear people want more space. They want more space, yeah. And they want outdoor space. Those are really important. And, you know, after a year spent in, you know, inside in people's apartments without access to like a nice place to be outside, you could see why they'd want that.
In my neighborhood, there are roof decks going up all over the place on houses that have just sold or that are about to be sold.
That's a really good idea.
In the urban area, yes. So
if you could afford the lumber.
Yeah, that's right, because you've reported that lumber prices are also going up, which is also part of this, in the mix with all of this.
Right.
Very interesting. Ronnie Mola is a senior data reporter at Vox's Recode. Ronnie, thanks a lot for explaining this all to us.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.